There we go. Okay. So, my name is Hope Gresser. I am a Master's of Public History student at the University of Western Ontario. I am currently in Ottawa, Ontario. Today's date is the 26th of July, 2020. And today I am here with, yes, Alexandra Fan, also in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Who I have known for 11 years now. We went
Oh,
through, yes, we went through school together, so we are friends. And she is going to be discussing her experience with the pandemic today as a master's student studying virology in this
yeah.
time. So first question I have for you. And part of the way this works is if at any point you want to divert, please do. We're going to try and keep it as chronological as possible, but if there's something that you're like, oh yes, this, go for it.
Okay.
What do you recall about the start of all this? Do you remember the first time you heard about the virus? What did you think about it initially?
Yes. So the first time I heard about the virus was probably before Christmas. And it was not in the context of a pandemic. It was in a very casual discussion with my PI, Marceline Cote, and she was really just mentioning it as a new virus that had emerged. And because we're an emerging viruses lab, she was just talking about how there's probably going to be a lot of literature on it. And at that point, I hadn't heard any major news about it. So I just kind of compartmentalized it in the back of my mind as something I might want to read up on later. But I did not think that it was going to turn into anything big until around a little after Christmas when the news started really picking up on it.
So to contextualize that a little bit, jumping back, do you want to explain a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you came to
Oh,
this
yeah.
point?
Yeah. So I study emerging viruses because I'm a master's student in the program of microbiology and immunology at U Ottawa. And so our lab so far, up until this point, has primarily focused on Ebola. But with the pandemic and with the need for new like literature and usually like my PI is pretty new, but usually you start to branch out. And so this is kind of her forte. This is an emerging virus. So we have now branched into studying the coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. And yeah.
So, how does this compare to any other health crises you may have lived through or have maybe in your case studied in the past? And like, how do you compare them?
So the only other thing that I've studied in the past in terms of research and just like not just in class would have been cancer. And for that, like cancer, I think affects individuals' lives more than like a pandemic has been a very collective experience for basically the entire world, it seems. Whereas cancer was something that I knew was dangerous. Everybody knows cancer is dangerous, but like I've never, I don't know how to explain it, but it's almost like the experience of a pandemic feels a lot more hard-hitting because it's not so common. And then you had a second part to the question. I can't remember what it was.
Just anything, any health crises that you've experienced,
Oh,
sort of thing. Like,
I,
not
yeah.
necessarily personally, just.
Yeah. So personally, I haven't had any major health crises, but I mean, when H1N1 was a thing, I remember it being like, I think that it did reach some kind of like pandemic type status, but not to this degree. I don't remember how, like, the World Health Organization classifies everything, but I remember being told to be careful and to wash my hands and to be clean and stuff like that. But with this coronavirus, it was, first of all, very, very sudden to me. Like, everything just shut down, and within a week, we were not allowed to do anything at all. Whereas with everything else that I've ever experienced, it's been, like, either much more gradual or the effect has been not as drastic. Yeah.
Kind of playing off of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So what does a typical day look like for you right now? What has it looked like at different points in the pandemic? Because that has changed over time. And how mm-hmm. is it different from before?
Okay, so I guess I'll start with, like, before. On a daily basis, I would just go to the lab and then just go home, but I would be taking public transport a lot more. And then I would go out pretty often, like, not super often, but once a month, you know, or a little bit more. I would go out to eat. I would go to the mall quite a bit. And I hug a lot. I'm with people I'm close to, like, I'm really touchy-feely, and now we're not allowed to do that. And so at the very beginning of the pandemic, when lockdown started in Ottawa, I had a sore throat, and I haven't been tested, but I doubt that it was the coronavirus. But I was home for 2 weeks, and that drove me, like, absolutely nuts. To lose my schedule and personally to know that some of my friends and colleagues were in the lab doing the actual research that I wanted to do and was supposed to be doing felt very, like, irritating to me. Not against them, but just because I felt like I was missing out, just FOMO. And then after that two-week period, where my sleep schedule was all over the place, I was absolutely not productive. I think I tried to stay productive by reading papers and working on an assignment that I had due, and it just was not really working out for me. I started going back to the lab, and then from that point until the phase one, sorry, one second. Sorry, someone at the door. Until phase one started, I was in the lab 8 to 10 hours every day. And that was, you know, just to do research. And that was exhausting. But comparing to what other people were telling me about staying at home and my very short 2 week stint staying at home, I preferred it just because I had at least a schedule to stick to and, like, some kind of purpose in the morning to get up and go somewhere. And so, like, I found that I felt very lucky to be in that position. Plus, being at home all the time, like, feeling cooped up is also not a good experience. And I got to actually interact with people my own age and who were interested in the same things as I was. And so it was a really good break from just being at home. And at the time I was living with my parents. So being around parents all the time can also get really irritating, even though I love them very much. And then, I mean, a lot of things have happened. I don't know if you want me to go into the details of my moving and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Oh, okay. So about a month and a half ago, I also moved out of my parents' place and then into a new apartment. And I had actually planned to move in May, but since we were in very strict lockdown in May, I pushed my moving to a month later. So I lost a month's rent on that. But by the time I moved, things were starting to open up. And now in our apartment, we try not to have too many people over at one time, but we are pretty relaxed with having people that we trust over. And then recently we were looking for a new roommate, and we just had people come in, but they just wore masks and we wore masks and we're pretty safe. I can't bus to work anymore, so I depend on a coworker for rides. I could bus to work or bike. I'm like trying to get a bike, but yeah, public transport makes me a little bit nervous, so I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Have you done it at all since the lockdown kind of started?
I have not set foot on public transport at all.
Same.
Yeah.
How are you getting your essential supplies right now? Or how were you getting them when you were at home with your parents and stuff like that? So like groceries and medications and things.
So
who's doing that?
Groceries. I'm still getting groceries. Like my parents were getting groceries when I was living at home. And I'm getting groceries now because I'm not living with them. I just wear a mask. And I think at the beginning of the pandemic, my parents were not wearing masks because we were told not to. And then as the, like, as things progressed and we've been instructed to wear masks, and so now they are. Anything else we try to order, and like sometimes with food, I will go to like a takeout place and just make sure that I have a mask on and social distance.
And how often are you, like, are you going once a week? Were your parents going once a week, or is it like more frequent or less frequent?
I would say it's about the same as before. So it'd be approximately once a week. For myself, yeah, it's also on average once a week. It hasn't changed too much. They did stock up at the beginning though. They stocked up a lot. They have a lot of food at home. Yeah.
So what have you been doing with your spare time? Has it changed at all what you're doing, or?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I didn't go out too much before anyway. I spent a lot of time just on my laptop and on Netflix. So my Netflix usage has gone up a lot because there's not really anything else to do. I used to go out to dinner with a friend probably, yeah, like once to twice a month. And now I'm not doing that at all. We do sometimes try to Uber Eats. And when I do meet up with friends, it is no longer in restaurants. I am hesitating about patios, even though they're open now. Mostly it's parks. Like anywhere I would meet anyone would be a park, and I'm sitting on my blanket and they're sitting on their individual blanket, and we're 6 feet apart and not sharing drinks or food the way we, like normally I would not be opposed to that at all, but now I'm like, unless I know them really well, that's not gonna happen. Yeah, and even if I do know them really well, it's like within probably like my best friend or my significant other that I would share food with, but other than that, no.
Because you also have a lot of friends that are in the same field as you. So how do you think, or do you think they've responded the same way to everything that you have, or is there kind of any different responses that you're sensing?
I think it was pretty varied, to be honest, because as a virologist, or as virologists, we study the mechanism of the virus like entering cells, but we don't necessarily study the pandemic and like how fast a virus will spread, like just within our lab anyway. And so really that's epidemiology. And so I remember at the very beginning, before lockdown started, a lot of us thought it wasn't going to be a big deal, even though we are virologists and like, I think the public expects us to know everything. And to be fair, like we're also, most of my friends are first year master's students. So our knowledge is still very, very limited. And I remember a lot of us saying, you know, it wasn't going to be a huge thing and that the media was blowing it up too much. The only reason I remember feeling, like just for myself, I remember panicking a little bit earlier than some of my friends did. And that was only because I had started a Twitter account and I'm on like academic Twitter, and there were profs everywhere that were much more knowledgeable than me, being like the WHO. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't call it the WHO. The World Health Organization. I just read it as WHO in my head. The World Health Organization needs to declare pandemic status now, and they didn't until much later. And so I was seeing a little bit of panic amongst like higher ups in my community that kind of ticked me off a little bit that I should start worrying as well.
On that, how do you think the public at large perceives your profession and your community? And do you think that's changed at all, or is it still people don't know what you do?
I think now when I tell people what I do, they at least know that it's relevant. So that's good. I think before, I remember telling people what I did, and a lot of people said, "What is that?" And now they're like, "Yes, tell me what you know." And then I can talk about my work and get excited, and people actually want to listen and stuff like that. In terms of, I think that at the beginning of my master's, I was told that there would not be a lot of jobs in virology and that I would have to really compete to do well in this field. And then as soon as the pandemic started, I think that might change within the next 5 to 10 years. And maybe by the time I'm all graduated and, you know, like I'm planning to pursue a PhD. So if and when I graduate from a PhD, maybe there'll be a lot more open positions. There's been a lot more funding. In terms of the public's perception of virologists, I think anyone who trusted healthcare professionals and the medical field and science before is really just more aware. But I think anyone that didn't trust the system before still doesn't trust the system. Like anti-vaxxers are still anti-vaxxers, and anti-maskers are still anti-maskers. So I don't think that there's a huge shift in whether or not people believe what I have to say. It's just how much they're willing to listen.
Have you had any encounters with those kinds of people, or have you been nice and away from that?
I've been in my bubble. It's really just people that trust the instructions.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
How do you perceive what you've been doing recently and its value?
I think that what I'm doing right now has value for the scientific community, because the research that I do is very fundamental. It's not going to lead to a vaccine or an antiviral right now. You know, I wouldn't say that it would affect people's lives as immediately as a lot of other work that other scientists have done. I think what I'm doing is more contributing to this growing pool of information that hopefully someone else can take and that will have a bigger impact. I do think it has a lot of value either way. It's just probably not what people expect me to be doing. I'm not developing a vaccine, and that's what most people think that I do when I say I'm a virologist. Yeah.
To shift gears, What is the mood among your family and friends from outside the lab right now? Or has been over the course of the...
Initially, paranoia. initially it was like, you know, my mom, I don't think she ever went outside for like a good month or something like that. She just wouldn't go outside. And I had a friend whose sister had a coworker who tested positive, and there was a lot of paranoia there. Now, though, I think people are getting used to social distancing and used to just kind of like how things are. And so now people are just being more careful, I think. But yeah, initially paranoia. I remember At the beginning of the pandemic, I think people started to create their own bubbles. So even if you didn't live with someone, if you had a specific circle of people that you knew you would interact with regularly, then you would just create that one bubble. And so my bubble would have been my parents, my coworkers, and my boyfriend. But at the beginning, I did not go to see my boyfriend. And I felt bad, but I just really didn't want to get him sick or myself sick. And because I was one of the only people that I knew leaving my house every day, it just felt like I was being unfair. Like, I already had the privilege of actually leaving my house to go do something, and I didn't want to abuse that, not power, but just like that
privilege.
That privilege. Yeah. but then like things started to kind of calm down. I don't think the policies or the rules changed when I did start to go hang out with my boyfriend, but it was more like, okay, I'm used to my schedule and I know what I'm doing is safe. I'm washing my hands and stuff like that. And so I can add one more person to my bubble and just make sure that that's it and that I'm within my little circle of people.
If you were creating an exhibit or writing a book about the pandemic, what would you include? What would you want people to know?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the main thing that I would want to highlight would be the trust or lack of trust of the government in different countries and how that has affected the outcome of the pandemic. So as far as I know, New Zealand is doing really well. And I think China and South Korea are also doing really well, and these countries had people who really listened to the policies that were being put in place right away. And unfortunately, the States is not doing well in a lot of areas, and it seems in those areas people have this general mistrust of their government and their policymakers. And so if someone were to write a book, or if I were to write a book, like, I think that exploring the relationship between politicians and the people that they're supposed to serve and the history of that would be pretty important, because it's very unnerving to see people not trust their government, and it's sad to see that they don't trust their government, and it's also really frustrating to know that they're putting themselves and all these other people in danger because of it. I think that would be the main thing. And then also I would probably want just like people's personal stories sprinkled throughout, firstly, just to make it more personable and to kind of show the differences in individuals' lives, because I think that there's a lot of privilege that plays into how comfortable you are during the pandemic. So I think shedding light on everyone's life from, you know, the least to the most privileged might be something else that would be interesting and make people in the future maybe feel less alone, especially if they are at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, or if they feel that they're the bottom of the totem pole, then yeah.
I'll address both of those things separately. So first off then, where do you, well, context here, mm-hmm. We both grew up in a city that is the national capital, where I think pretty much every household has at least one parent working for the government.
Yeah.
So where do you think Canada falls in that equation in terms of trust of the government, and where do you fall in that, I guess?
I think we trust the government well enough. I'm a little unsure. I did hear on the radio about a month or two ago that according to some kind of survey, that Canadians tend to trust their government more than our neighbors in the States. I know that there's have still been protests and people not really taking this seriously in Canada, but I personally haven't experienced it, so I don't feel like I can speak to that. I think that mm-hmm. I'm pretty privileged, and I think that the government has done enough that we would listen to their policy, even if we don't truly fully agree with them or understand them. I think that people find the government reasonable enough, and that the government hasn't done anything too outrageous that would like obliterate our trust with them.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then the other thing you mentioned was kind of intersectionality here, and mm-hmm. Levels of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself in that? And has that affected your experience at all of the pandemic?
Yeah, so I think I am quite privileged. I know that I have a lot of financial privilege because I graduated my undergrad debt-free, so I don't have anything to worry about. Yeah. and I'm also an only child, so like my parents don't have to spend as much on two individuals and taking care of two people. And I've, again, had no health crises of my own, so yeah. And the fact that I haven't lost my job and that essentially like am now more needed than I was before, also has been really good. Like my mental health has not really suffered. I've been stressed only because I've been working a lot, but it's not really a stress that students experience that type of stress all the time. So I still have income, I still have a job, I still have a place to live. I had a vehicle when I was living at home, so I was still able to go places if I needed to, just to work because everything was closed, or to the grocery store. Like my parents could drive, there was no need for public transport. So yes, I think I'm very privileged in that sense. I think that because I'm Asian, I was pretty worried about whether or not I was going to get racist remarks. And I haven't had any like outright hate. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of remarks from people who are quote unquote joking, and it's a little uncomfortable, but I don't really react to it too much because, to be honest, I was expecting a lot worse. So that's another thing that maybe I feel like a little bit less privileged on, but because my social circle is also like pretty progressive, I haven't experienced anything that would have hurt me too much at all.
Do you mind what kind of remarks? Do you mind? And you can say no.
I'm just trying to think of like specific things. So actually I am going to say no because I just will say no.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So yes, what do you want people to know about your experience of this pandemic?
Just probably that it was very unique as compared to the majority of the rest of the world, because it was different, and I couldn't relate to the memes online of being like day something something of quarantine. I couldn't really relate to that. So that it was unique, and that I had this discussion with my coworkers that one day when everyone was, you know, when everything is over and everyone's just talking about this pandemic, whether or not I would feel slightly removed from this collective trauma that the rest of the world has experienced. I don't know if I would feel that. I think that I could relate to it to some extent, but I think that I am a little bit removed from it just because I had the opportunity to go to work. Everything that I did was voluntary. If I wasn't comfortable, I would have still been paid and not had to go into work. So yeah, just that it was different.
On the still being paid and not having to go into work, are other labs open, or like were they open during the more stringent shutdown, or was it just you guys that opened up?
It was only people that had gotten COVID-19 funding. So as far as I know, it was myself or like my lab and another group. And then as people started to get more funding, I did hear about some other labs like down hall or in another building opening up and letting a couple of their students in. And it was not everyone in the lab. It was only people that were allowed on those specific projects. And then we, at the beginning of June, started our phase one or like 0.5 or something of introducing people. So we were at 30% capacity, and now we've increased it to something slightly higher, and we're taking it in shifts, and we have to wear masks almost the entire time, unless we are in an isolated room like I am in right now, then we can take our masks off. So like now all the labs are open, but we're not allowed everyone in the lab all at once. It's done in shifts. Yeah.
And on that, when I think about it, you guys are connected to the hospital.
Yes.
So have you noticed anything about the hospital and their protocols, or how have their protocols affected you guys?
I think the first week that I was in, I was not allowed to cross into the hospital at all. I don't remember exactly when, but that did change because we are collaborating with another lab that's in another building, so I do have to cross through the hospital, but I personally wasn't super affected. I would just beeline through there, and the hospital has been, I don't pass the emergency room or the ICU or anything, so I don't really see any activity. It's just like a couple of people in scrubs, and they always have masks on, and yeah, it's pretty calm.
All right. That is all the questions that I have.
Oh, cool.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say, or any questions that you have?
Not really. No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.